doesn't come in between it this time. It's all over. I'm going to go to the car from now on.
You remember the car, right?
No, right.
I think we're going to carry the state of Texas. We were here last week for a couple of days in Houston, and we're going to be here tomorrow and in Lubbock, Texas, and we really think it's coming around. We're never.
How close does it look?
I understand, and I don't have any surveys, but I understand it's almost a dead heat right now. We're hoping it's moving in that direction and that we're going to pull ahead.
Carter, do you think you'll gain them before the election in 2 weeks?
Well, I think if we look at what we were down, and I don't remember the exact figure for Texas, but we were down, I think, 12, 14 points. We've made some headway. I think Texans are taking a look at some of Carter's stands on right-to-work laws and defense and gun control, and they're beginning to wonder what kind of a candidate they have. So I look for many Democrats to cross over. There are a lot of good conservative Democrats and independents who are going to vote for President Ford. Well, I wouldn't say that, you know, what would happen. He's never told us what he plans to do. He said he, in 75, he was going to cut $15 billion, but he had the, well, at least he said on TV he didn't say that. Two papers quoted him as saying that. He since said he wants to cut it $5 to $7 billion. Senator Mondale would cut it to pieces. He votes to cut everything in defense. So I don't know what kind of a combination it'd end up with. It would be... You know, if you like McGovern, you'll love Carter and Mondale.
Mexican-American leaders have been largely Democratic. What do the Republicans have that the Democrats don't?
I think what we have is the same program for all Americans. We're concerned about Mexican-Americans. We're concerned about inflation. We're concerned about jobs, the same things they're concerned about. And I think they're starting to look around. They've been taken for granted for a long time by the Democrat Party, and they haven't had much to show for it.
Senator, your statement today in Corpus Christi about busing, do you think that's going to turn off a lot of minority voters?
Oh, I don't think so. I think 70% or more make any difference where you are. If you have to transport your child several miles, you don't like it. What we want are good neighborhood schools for all Americans, regardless of race, color, or creed, and just seems to me that we're on the right track.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I have one question.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
Thank you very much. Get my pineapple juice up here. It's a lot better for you than peanut butter, I'll tell you that. Yeah, for one thing, it doesn't stick to the roof of your mouth. Is it safe to assume we're going to carry the state of Texas? Well, I was in Houston, Texas last Friday night. We had a little meeting there. And I was standing next to a draft. I picked up a little cold. But It's a draft that I've heard for a long time. Just spend and spend and spend and tax and tax and tax. That's all they know. That's all the Democrats know. And they never learn anything except to spend your money and increase taxes or increase inflation. And that's what this election is all about. And I want to talk to you about it just for a few moments, because I know you don't want to have your day ruined by some long political speech. But I was very pleased with our debate with Mondale, right. He's not too well known. I can't remember his name. But he has an answer for everything. Yes. Yes, I'll vote for this, and yes, I'll vote for that, except when it comes to defense. And I tried to point up, it's very important in the state of Texas, I think you understand, and I know there's some agonizing decisions in Texas being made right now. But I would hope that Governor Carter, while he's preparing for his debate, or maybe even on Friday night, would assure the American people that if he should, by some unfortunate chance, be elected, that his running mate would have nothing to do with defense policy for the good of America. And let me tell you why. I think we have to watch waste in the Pentagon and waste in our defense budget just as we watch it in every other place. Let me give you just a few of the items, not because you'll understand or know about each weapon system, but Senator Mondale has voted consistently against everything for a strong defense for America, including just a few of these. Against the C-5A aircraft, which was so vital in the last war in the Mideast. Against the nuclear-attacked aircraft carrier. Against the advanced manned strategic bomber. Against the F-14 aircraft. Against Project Sanguine. Against the XM-803 battle tank. Against a Poseidon missile. Against surface effect ships. Against a CVN-70 carrier, against the accelerated Trident program, against a B-1 bomber, against a main battle tank, against the SAMD missile evaluation, against the A-10 aircraft, against the A-7D aircraft. Now, these are just a few of the items that Senator Mondale has voted against. Now, can you imagine, as Americans, whether you're Republicans or Democrats or Independents, what shape we'd be in the world if the Senator Mondales in this country were in charge? It would be a disaster. That's what it would be, a disaster for America. And I think it's time we took a hard look, because this is the most crucial factor I know in America. It's not partisan. It's not Democrat. It's not Republican. It's not independent. We're talking about peace, and we're talking about strength. And as I tried to suggest the last Friday evening to the mothers and the grandmothers and the fathers and grandfathers and the young men and women, you know, if you can't find any other reason to vote for President Ford or to work for President Ford, I'll remind you again that we're at peace in the world. No young Americans are being shot at. No young Americans are about to leave this audience for some far-off country, for some unknown destination. And that's in a large part, my friends, because of the leadership of President Ford. Because this time, now, Senator Mondale can belong to his Peace Through Law group. They have very lofty objectives. They want peace through some written agreement. I hope someday that can happen. We're not going to have peace if we end up number two in this world. If we had Senator Mondale's philosophy and had it prevailed over the past years, we would be number two in the world. And that's just how serious it is. And it's time we look at the number two men on the ticket. Now, President Ford, this year, for the first time in some 10 years, has been able to get some real growth in the defense budget. And he's done it through persuasion. He's done it working with moderate and conservative Democrats, and not the ultra-liberals like Senator Mondale and others who have perfect George Meany voting records in the Congress of the United States. And so I say, as far as I'm concerned, there are a lot of things important in this campaign. As I said last night at a Farm Bureau meeting, we can talk about a lot of things. It's easy for Governor Carter to stand up and say, we're not respected. It's easy to stand up for Governor Carter to stand up and say, we're a weak country. But those aren't the facts. We're respected by our friends. We're respected by our adversaries because we're strong, and we're strong because of President Ford, not because of Governor Carter. And that's what it's all about. And in the state of Texas, I'd remind you of the great influence, and they should have great influence, that the organized labor leaders, not the working men and women, because they're concerned about taxes. They don't want gun control. They don't want forced busing. They don't want all these things that the Democrats want to foist upon the American people. But as far as labor leaders are concerned, the George Meanies and the Leonard Woodcocks and the others who have great influence and almost domination of the other party, take a hard look at what would happen to your right to work law in the state of Texas. If you're a Democrat or if you're an independent, if you're a Republican, and if you're in business or if you're a farmer, or if you want to get into business. Now, I just happen to believe, and have always believed, that there are 75% of America's people who do not belong to labor unions. And I think they should have that right, and they should have that right to make a decision. And I would hope, and I think we're counting on the state of Texas because of some basic values that Texans hold. Freedom for the individual. Voluntary decisions. A right to make up your own mind. They once asked George Meany why he didn't run for president. He said, why step down? Why step down? He's got a pretty good lock on the Democrat Party, the Liberal Democrat Party. It's not the party of Texas Democrats, or not very many Texas Democrats. Not the party of the conservative Texas Democrats, and not the party of many Texas independents. But they're influenced, and they're directed, and they're almost dominated by labor leaders. And so I can understand when George Meany says to Governor Carter and Senator Mondale, we want to repeal Section 14B of the Taft-Hartley Law. They say, yes, sir, yes, sir. That's what we're for. That's what we're for. You want common situs picketing? That's what they're for. That's what Senator Mondale's for. That's what Governor Carter's for. That's what George Meany's for. That's the bill, you might recall, that President Ford vetoed, a very courageous veto. And if you have any interest in energy policies in America, you know, I like to look at Senator Mondale's record. We were standing in Oklahoma City yesterday, and it was about 28 degrees, and he was out in sunny California where it was 80 talking about our energy policy. And I stood there thinking, I wish he were here, and I was there, because then he would understood how important it is to develop new sources for energy. But he was standing out there, I guess where it was warm at least, and we were standing there thinking about some of the cold realities. Now, what is the energy policy of Governor Carter and Senator Mondale? Well, they want to break up the oil companies. That always sounds good. That's good politics. Break them up either horizontally or up and down. They don't care any way necessary to break up the oil companies, because that means you get a lot of votes. You run around attacking big oil. Well, I've suggested in the Finance Committee, if I want to find more gas, I want to find more oil. Now, if Mondale wants to explain to the people when it's 10 below zero that he voted for a price rollback and he's sorry there isn't any energy, or he wants to freeze the price and there's no energy because people won't go out and look for it unless they can make a profit, let him demagogue that issue, and let Governor Carter demagogue that issue. They're experts at it. That doesn't help the American people. Now, I've suggested in my Finance Committee to make certain that these major companies go out and explore for oil and gas, that if they don't plow the money back into exploration and production, they pay an excess profits tax of up to 90%. And I don't find that objected to by most people in that business. They're looking for energy. I also believe in deregulation. If we're going to have any energy produced, we're going to have to start some deregulation programs, and so does President Ford. But they're against deregulation. Senator Mondale's contribution to the energy crisis was to vote to delay the Alaska pipeline for 1 year. So we're going to leave them out in the cold on November 2nd, and we're going to all move ahead together. So I would just conclude by saying that I think this audience, and I don't know the politics of everyone in this audience, but I hope that the great majority are supporting President Ford, and I know the great majority are supporting President Ford. If we have to focus on just two or three items, let's focus first upon the peace and strength, and peace through strength, the policy of President Ford, as compared to the policy of Governor Carter, where he said last year we'd cut $15 billion from defense. Of course, he since denied that, but he denies everything, so he probably did say it. Now he says he wants to cut it $5 to $7 billion. And we have the voting record of his running mate, which is really bad, as far as the strength of America is concerned. Then we can look at the energy problem and talk about the energy crisis. And that's really all the liberal Democrats have done about it, is talk about it, try to roll back the prices, try to discourage production, try to discourage exploration, and then get up and castigate the President Ford because our imports are increasing. Well, certainly they're going to increase if we don't do something. Someone suggested if they could bag that hot air in the Senate, we'd have enough energy for everybody. And then finally, spending. The Republican Party has compassion. President Ford has compassion. He's concerned about the people. He has programs for housing. He has programs for unemployment. He has programs for the sick. But he also has a program to stop inflation. And I would just, one little example, if you have a fixed income of $6,000 and the inflation rate is 10%, you're being robbed of about $600 per year of purchasing power. That's the cruelest tax of all. And President Ford has cut the inflation rate in half. And I suggest if you just take five of Jimmy Carter's new programs, we're talking about a spending program of in excess of $100 billion, which I think is a little heavy and a little hard for the American taxpayer to carry. He's already burdened enough, even though Governor Carter said in an Associated Press interview that he didn't think Americans wanted lower taxes. Is there anyone here who doesn't want their taxes lowered? We have a doctor standing by. We'll be glad to treat you as soon as we can. But he's given a great many interviews lately. Some are illustrated and some you have to read, but I understand Playboy is having a very good month. A lot of people, a lot of men are telling their wives, I'm just buying it to read this article. But they say a picture is worth 10,000 words. So I but I don't quarrel with his, I don't quarrel with what he said, or if he wants to be interviewed by Playboy or anyone else, that's a judgment he makes, because that only affects him. But it was bad judgment. And I'm kind of wondering as long as it affects only Jimmy Carter, I guess we shouldn't complain, but he might be making some judgment affect us if he's elected. And he's talking about opening up the National Security Council meetings to the public, and I assume Playboy would have a representative there. And they would be covering all of his meetings because he spent a lot of time with them. He said, I spent more time with you than I have with Time and Newsweek put together. That's what he said. But I just suggest as long as he makes those judgments that affect only his political fortunes and his personal life, that's a judgment he can make. But I don't want him making judgments for me if that's how he made that judgment. And so I just suggest we ought to take a hard look. Well, it's good to have a chance to address the nonpartisan audience. And in a nonpartisan way, but I want to end on a very, I think, good note, because we think the polls are looking much, much better in Texas. But I'd be less than candid if I didn't ask you for your help, because it's just that close. And it's great to have your vote and great to have your support. We really need you knocking on doors and calling your friends and neighbors and telling about the positive Ford record and telling them something about Governor Carter's record. I've been hoping for some time that Governor Carter would call a press conference or buy some TV time and say to the American people, this is my last position. This is my last position. Now, maybe he'll do that on Friday night. We can always hope that he's going to narrow it down from three or four positions on each issue to maybe one or two. You know, they're having three debates, so he can give at least three positions on each issue. But if you just tell the American people, I don't have the answer. But he keeps saying that he's been misquoted, and he has this apology line in his headquarters where they can call up and apologize to people that he's insulted. They try to do it the day after the insult, so it's... And he calls Mrs. Johnson, and he calls Governor Wallace, and someone calls Billy Graham, and but they just continue to find fault with the American people and some of our great American leaders. So in these final days, we need your vote, we need your help, we need your knocking on doors, calling your neighbors, writing letters, whatever you can do to make certain that for the good of America, President Ford will continue to serve as our president. Thank you very much.
Soon after the nomination, I had to make a decision about my job. I'm a member of the Federal Trade Commission, and I did decide to take a leave of absence because I wanted to be able to work full-time for people and principles in which I strongly believe. And so I recently sent back my check to the my salary to the United States Treasury, and I had a little note there that said, this is intended to help reduce the national debt. And as you can imagine, it won't be by much, just a little. But I also informed Bob that indeed I was going to be living off a dole for the next few months. I'll just say very quickly, because you've been standing a long time, that I was very proud of my husband last Friday night in the debate. I think he related very clearly his faith in the American people and President Ford's faith in the American people rather than faith in bigger and bigger federal government. And he also related to many of the letters which he's received. In fact, as part of the preparation, I hope you don't mind my telling this, Bob, but we look back through a lot of the mail that we've both received over the past months. And there are a lot of good ideas and suggestions in those letters. And also, people have expressed their concerns, their needs, their views on issues. And what Bob tried to do Friday night was to relate his philosophy and his principles and that of President Ford to the needs of the American people. And I think when he talked about a strong national defense, the fact that we've got to be number one in the world for the sake of peace, we cannot negotiate from weakness, he had in mind a grandmother who had informed us of her strong support for President Ford's position in this area because she has two grandsons. One in college, one who's just finished and who's developing his career. And neither one of those grandsons has to stop what he's doing to go into military service today. And that means a lot. And as I travel around on the campaign trail, I'm urging people to take a good hard look at the platforms, at the difference in the platforms, also to look hard at the men who are involved on the tickets, to study the issues, look at their positions on the issues, ask questions, and I am convinced that when they do this and they see the difference, because the people have a clear choice this time, they very definitely have a choice in this election. The Ford Dole ticket offers a moderate to conservative philosophy. The Carter-Mondale ticket, a very liberal philosophy. People should become aware of this. When they perceive it, they can vote their convictions. But I'm convinced that in the South and in many other parts of this country, when this is perceived, we're going to have a lot of people sharing with us a great victory on November 2nd. Thank you very much.
Democratic state, and you've got the governor down here working hard and all these things. Well, they're all on that survival plan, you know. But I guess all the liberals are turned on or turned up or turned out or whatever. But I just happen to believe that most Americans have a very conservative to moderate philosophy. I just don't think the liberals in this country are in the majority. Now, we're going to find out on November 2nd. We're going to find out in the state of Texas. And I know a lot of good people who are very idealistic, and they think this ought to happen and this ought to happen, and they're very fine goals, and I don't quarrel with the goals. I know our government has some responsibility and some role to play in many, many areas. I'm not suggesting we just turn off the federal government, as some of the Democrats would suggest, that we want people to go hungry. We don't want people to be taken care of. Now, we can talk about specifics, whether it's forced busing or gun control or breaking up the oil companies or repealing right-to-work laws, or probably even worse, if you're interested in agriculture, is what we call Proposition 14, which is on the ballot out in California. Now, if that passes in California, in that state, labor organizers have a right to come on your private property for 3 hours a day to organize farm workers. Now, if it's going to happen in California, it could probably move right up and down the country. At least they would try to move it up and down the country. And I think we really have to be concerned. If you're concerned about your future freedoms and the direction we're heading, the direction we would head under a Carter-Mondale administration. Now, I don't have any quarrel with them as men. You know, I think they're probably, Carter has one goal in mind, that's to be president. He'll tell you anything, anytime, to any audience, if it'll persuade you to vote for him. But I believe the American voters are more sophisticated, they're certainly more intelligent. They want to know where he's going to take us. And I think the more people find out, the shakier it gets for Governor Carter. And he's saying now that it's up for grabs, and he's also saying we ought to quit mudslinging. Apparently he ran out of mud. But I don't know, But he'll find some more. I think they've got a little factory down there that makes that. Because he's been doing very good in that department. And I just suggest that there's some movement. The movement's with us. It's coming our way. We had a little interruption there after that second debate. We're going to have another debate on Friday night. And it just seems to me that President Ford is going to come out on top. And that's going to give us that momentum we need in that final week. And I would say in Texas, as I've said in other places, I know that Governor Reagan, an outstanding American, outstanding Republican, and he got many Democrat votes and many other votes in Texas. He's on our side. He's working for us. I was with him last Friday night in Houston, Texas, at a rally. And I think when people stop and take a look at the platforms or take a look at the records, the choice is very clear. So we want all the support we can have. And if anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to respond. I don't want to... Yes?
Governor.
Senator. Sorry.
I want to make this plan. We're going to carry Governor Bristol's whole town.
I'll vote for that, right.
Senator Bill, I've heard Governor Carter numerous occasions tell the American people that he's a nuclear science engineer. Now, I understand it takes several things to be an engineer. Number one, you need an engineering degree or several years working under the tutelage of an engineer, which I understand he's done neither. And I understand his only claim to fame as a nuclear engineer, he took two courses while at Annapolis to learn how to serve on a nuclear submarine. Why don't we challenge him on that?
Right. I think he... Now, there's a story coming out in Penthouse this... there is. Now, he didn't write this one, but it was written by someone who really has some doubts about Carter now after hearing him talk, and it shows a picture of Carter looking in the mirror, and you see the face of Nixon in the mirror. And it talks about the similarities in their campaign, and it brings up the very thing you mentioned. I haven't... I have read the article. I haven't looked at the picture, but I've read the article. There's also going to be an article, if it's published, in Ladies Home Journal, where Carter takes another shot at another slap at former President Johnson, which I hope the Texans will look at carefully, because he seems to have this tendency to find fault with everyone, and then he says he asked forgiveness, and it's all taken care of. And it just seems to me that there's something in a man's character. You can always find fault. It's like your neighbor or yourself, if you find fault with everybody. And then the next day he said, well, forget everything. I didn't really mean it. I apologize. We can do that for a while, and I guess we all do that occasionally, but he seems to make practice of it. But that is one point that is mentioned in this article, and I understand yesterday there were full-page ads all across America to buy this issue of Penthouse. Uh-huh. To read this story about Governor Carter. We just got the story. We didn't buy the whole magazine. Yes?
I ask you, I thought you came across very well on Friday against whatever...